Your community radio station and your library proudly present Tales from the Pandemic, a series of five short stories, each narrated by its author, reflecting our community's lived experience during these strange times.
2020 to 2021 by Zoe Clark. 29th of March, 2020. There hasn't been time, only the promise of it, in the future, when this new world of mine, of ours, was supposed to open up bigger and wider. Now sometimes the air feels stale, mainly in the afternoons, and I can't get rid of the dust no matter how much I wipe down surfaces. Tricky thing, that dust. It floats up, convincing you it has gone, only to settle back down again when you're not looking. Dust doesn't matter outside. It sinks into the ground because the earth is porous and kind, not like these artificial shiny things we've created to make ourselves feel like we're living the good life. This virus, they say, can survive on plastic and stainless steel for days. Turns out it has had a taste of the good life and it likes it too. I just want dirt. I want dirt and mud and those small pebbles you can dig up with your toes from the riverbed. I want to take off my glasses and let my eyes rest on the blurry horizon, mixing tree trunks with leaves and the flocks of cockatoos sweeping the riverbank as the day rests its weary bones. I want to hear the snap of deadwood and the crackle of flames as the campfire is prepared for cooking dinner. I want to drink a grainy coffee in a tin mug, and when I'm finished, I want to flick the dregs out into the dirt, recklessly. I want to hear the thump of a footy on a shin and the laughter that endless play brings. I want a long, tight hug with my fast-growing nieces and nephews. The kind of hold that in the moment feels like it has no end. And believe me, when this is done, I will have that hold. I want to trip over a guy rope in the dark, or walk the tentative walk over sand after washing in the river, trying to keep my feet clean. It never works, by the way. The sand is soft and always finds your heels, makes its way up the sides of your feet and in between your toes. We know this, but we always try. That gentle, tight rope walk from river to tent. I want to wash my babies in a bucket and watch their eyes open with wonder at the sky above them, fuss over their rosy cheeks and wrestle leaves out of their hands. I want to hand them over to aunties and uncles and grandparents for cuddles and play and walks and snoozes. I want to deliver them to Grandma and Papa's tent way too early, when Grandma is snoring and Papa is pottering around outside. I want to show them the moon and the stars, and maybe some jet streams during the day, if we still have those. I want to hand my babies over to their cousins to be showered with attention and play. I want to cool my wrists in the river, feel the rush of dunking my head under the water for the first time, rub coarse sand into my calves and boast about the comfort of my camp chair by the fire. Winter, 2020. It is a Friday afternoon and I sit in an armchair in the corner of my baby's bedroom. Soft instrumental music floats from the cheap CD player on the floor across the room. I have heard these songs so many times that I don't even recognize them as songs anymore. Sometimes I hear them when they're not there, just echoing around in my skull like a tired memory. The cot bars obscure the line of sight between me and the baby sleeping in the corner. The winter sun bleeds through the cracks between the curtain and window frame. And I can't tell if the stench of old poo is coming from the baby in my arms or the nappy bin on the other side of the room. I notice that its lid is propped accidentally open, and there is nothing I can do about that without waking this baby, who hasn't quite learned how to sleep independently yet. My mouth is dry. My feet are cold, despite two pairs of socks and my worn-out slippers. I realise it has been 48 hours since I last showered. I long to sit with a friend. Just sit, rest my eyes on them, maybe casually touch their arm and pretend not to notice when a bit of saliva accidentally flies out of their mouth and lands on my face when they laugh. What I would give to have a friend's spit land on my face right now. It is 2020 and I find myself living literally in a state of disaster, raising twin babies with my partner. I need to write this down very plain and simple, because although it feels so huge right now that it would be impossible to forget, so too did the moments after giving birth, and my memory of that is foggy at best. I don't know who this is for, any more than I ever know who I write for, but this needs to be documented, and even though I am stuck in this house, in this room, in this chair, with this baby in my arms, I still have my phone, I still have my right hand, I still have these minutes. To be clear, this is how we are living right now. It is currently illegal for us to travel further than 5 kilometres from our house unless for the stated exceptions. It is also against the law to be in public without wearing a face mask, unless you have a medical condition that prevents this. We are not permitted to leave the house for any other reason than to either exercise for 1 hour or go to the shop to buy essential items. A curfew is in place. We can't leave the house at all between the hours of 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. unless there is an emergency. We are not permitted to have any visitors to our house, nor are we permitted to visit anyone else. We are allowed to exercise with one other person who doesn't live with us, as long as we maintain 1.5 metres distance from each other, wear face masks, and do not travel further than 5 kilometres from our homes. This is the beautiful loophole that has meant I can see my friend and her baby, my parents, and my sister-in-law. I would be breaking the law if I hopped in the car and drove to visit either of my sisters and their families. I would be breaking the law if I went to see any of my friends except for the one who lives within 5 kilometres of me. I would be breaking the law if my friend and her baby came around and sat on the grass with me and my babies. I don't write this to complain or criticise. I write this to remember. If I put this here, I don't have to carry it in my head.
You're listening to Tales from the Pandemic, proudly brought to you by your library and your community radio station.
September 14th, 2020. I turned 33 when the world fell to its knees. It was sunny. We grabbed our hats, put our babies in the slow, hulking, station wagon that my parents had kindly given us, and drove to Eastland so I could buy takeaway coffees and sandwiches. We took them to Dandenong Creek and sat on one of those big tables with bench seats made out of heavy grey wooden sleepers, sunk deep and fixed to the ground. We walked along and discussed whether our planned camping trip would be able to go ahead or not. S was worried about being able to buy enough food from the shops. People had started to panic buy. I told him not to worry. It all sounded a bit silly, and surely we'd be able to go. 15th of September, 2020. This morning, S is going to his pop's funeral. 10 people are permitted, so he will be there with his sisters and his cousins. I'll go to mum and dad's so I can watch the service via video link while they look after the babies. There is so much sadness and grief everywhere I look that it seems futile to try to wrap words around it on a screen. Fucking screens. Screenshots of Zoom meetings of family members living just suburbs apart. Somewhere, there is a huge pile of data growing like a beast. It contains messages between friends saying things like, "Thinking of you," and "I hope you're doing okay in this second lockdown," and "I wish there was more I could do." It contains countless records of online orders of bunches of flowers or trays of donuts and cheese platters sent to friends on their birthdays. An endless list of takeaway dinner orders. Search histories asking the same questions again and again and again. Can I go for a walk with my friend and our babies? Or when can I see my grandchildren again? I don't know where this pile is, but it has to exist. 3rd of November, 2020. Kay visited us yesterday. She brought with her a lasagna and an enormous smile hiding behind her mask. She read Pig the Pug to E at the kitchen table. I watched as my daughter sat on Kay's knee and grabbed gently at her long hair. After we put the babies down for their afternoon nap, we sat in the backyard and talked about getting older and more conservative, admitting that secretly, maybe we both wouldn't mind getting married and buying a house one day. We talked a little bit about work, a little bit about other people. It occurred to me that being with her is easy and calm. There is no rush. The pace of conversation is dynamic, but not frenetic. There is room for me to move my eyes around and look at pieces of sky between the branches swaying above.
Local stories by local authors on local radio.
Of June 2021. On the winter solstice, we rearrange the furniture and pack away some of the baby toys. "There's plenty of space in the top of the cupboard," says S. Our eyes meet for a moment as we wonder who or what we're keeping them for. We can't have that conversation yet. It is sunny on the winter solstice, and this makes a tremendous difference to everyone's mood. There have been days during this last month when all we were allowed to do was go outside, when it felt like it might never stop raining. The rain made me sad. I felt defeated by the rain. I felt defeated by the blackout caused by the terrible storm. I felt defeated by being told by the government for the fourth time that I could not see my family, that I could not take my kids to the library, that I could not see my friends. I don't know what I'm trying to write. I don't know how to write. The other day, I was supposed to meet my friends at a Lebanese restaurant in Brunswick East for lunch because we could. But instead, I drove to my parents' empty house and cleared up the storm damage in their backyard. When I arrived, I called my friend to tell her that I just couldn't do it. She was wonderful. She always is. I told her she always has a knack of making me feel better. I am, I think, slowly putting myself back together. Words are coming back. Maybe because I'm reading more, sleeping more. I have learned to exist without conversation and now find it sometimes unbearable in its pace and volume and demands. I find it hard to listen and respond, to keep track. 4th of July, 2021. I sit at a table in a large modern cafe, the kind with bad jazz and no soft furnishings, and two eager yet inexperienced waitstaff. I order a coffee, and then the regret comes, along with the jitters and that familiar feeling of not knowing where to rest my eyes or my hands. I am meeting with two friends I have known for years. I am feeling stressed, listening to one of them talk about her recent ordeal of moving house and the difficulties she is having with getting her in-laws to take their shoes off when they visit. I say things in response and my words clunk together. As they tumble out of my mouth, I want to gather them back up, put them in my bag and take them home. There are things we don't ignore but don't talk about. Pregnancy loss, death of a parent, cancer. I notice the human smell of a chain smoker on a rainy day. On my way to the toilet at the back of the cafe, I walk past a group of women having their photo taken, smiling like primary school kids assembled in rows up against the wall. of July, 2021. It is the middle of winter and I am sitting in my car in the Woolworths car park in Croydon, listening to a podcast about the importance of microbiomes for babies' health and long-term immune systems. I can taste red onion in my mouth from the salad that S made us for lunch. It is mainly cloudy, but not raining like it has been for days. And this morning there was sunshine. I think about going into the supermarket and looking at the products and maybe buying a chocolate bar to eat in the car. I am glad to not be at home listening to my kids kicking against sleep with all their cheerful glee. I am wondering how many people have taken to sitting for longer than they need to in cars in car parks. I look up and I can't be sure, but I see a person walking past my car, lifting their hoodie up slightly and tucking what looks like a naked Barbie doll into the top of their pants, the kind of pants you go running in. They catch my eye for a fraction of a moment before crossing the car park. Distracted, trying to secure the doll in place, they nearly get hit by a slow-moving car before making their way through the automatic doors of the reject shop. 18th of August, 2021. Two men walk side by side around a park in Croydon. Face masks tucked under chins, takeaway coffee cups in their right hands. Cigarettes burned down nearly to the stubs in their left. The man closest to the cobblestone curb that separates the path from the grass does a peculiar dance with his feet, and then I notice the stub between his forefinger and thumb has disappeared. Before, I picked up my bag of library books from the cart outside the library. It felt like Christmas. I almost cried when I called the library earlier to arrange to pick up my reserved books. I asked if they could just pick a few books for my kids. I was expecting three or four, but the bag was packed with books picked by a stranger who was kind enough to ask me what kind of books my kids were interested in. I thought about knocking on the window and making some kind of exaggerated gesture of thanks to get through the tinted glass. Instead, I had a sip of water from my bottle, readjusted my mask, and walked to the supermarket. This morning, getting the kids out of the house and into the car felt like dragging sandbags through rough surf or something else hard. I've never done that. So maybe it's clearer to say that getting the kids out of the house felt like trying to get shoes and socks and jumpers on two toddlers, whilst also organising snacks and finding both drink bottles, but also going to the toilet and changing a dirty nappy and remembering to put it in the bin and wash my hands, but then also letting the kids brush their teeth because they followed me into the bathroom, and then herding them out again because somehow the broom is in here and now one of them is sweeping the water on the floor of the shower base. Yeah, it felt like that. 31st of August, 2021. Dear pandemic, something about being grateful for this moment. It is 8:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning at the very end of the calendar's winter, and I am getting dressed in the bathroom after a lovely long shower. I can hear gleeful laughter coming from the lounge room, our children with their dad, my partner, our family, all here on a weekday morning, all here every weekday morning. A reminder that for all the things we've missed or lost or hold anger and sadness for, there is also this and the smell of sunscreen. 2020 to 2021 by Zoe Clark.
Tales from the Pandemic, proudly brought to you by your library and your community radio station.